Well, I very much appreciate that song this morning. It goes along well with my message. Maybe I'll write the title on the board here. I'm thankful for the hope of the gospel. And I find that with the hope of the gospel that whatever the Lord brings us from His Word and by His Spirit, it always is with the intent to bring us life. Because He doesn't want the absence of life to take place. The Lord is interested in us experiencing life. I'd like to leave you today with what I'll call a cautionary footnote to the series of messages that we had on the subject that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. My intent is not this morning to bring a note of alarm. This is not a message to create uncertainty in our Christian life. It's not a message to generate a scared type of fear or induce that, but rather a most reasonable caution to Christians. This message is to Christians this morning. A message to Christians that I believe the Lord wants us to take to heart, to have caution in our lives, that we are carefully aware and diligent to keep Him in the midst. To keep Him in the midst. The Lord is so desirous of remaining, of being in the midst of our storms. He wants to go with us all through life, as we just heard the singers testify to us through song. But if we go away from Him, He isn't going to force Himself upon us. He wants us to do our part that He can remain in the midst of our lives. All of us this morning are aware of the parable of the 10 virgins. And there were 10 of them, and the Scripture says that 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And we know the story that 5 of them missed out on heaven. The story, the parable goes that when the Lord came back, they said they had run out of oil, which means they had oil at one point. They had the oil, but they ran out of oil. They missed heaven not because they were corrupted by the sin of the world. There are people that miss out on heaven because they allow themselves to be corrupted by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and they miss out of eternal life because of that. But these people were not corrupted so much by the world, but they ran out of oil. They ran out of having a proper fear of living in the fear of the Lord. The fear that we have been talking about the last few Sundays, not a scared fear, but a fear where, Lord God, You are God of heaven and I want to give my life to You. You are so worthy. Lord, Your authority and Your power is above all. And I owe You my life. And Lord, I want to give You my life and I want to follow You. Lord, I want You to be in the midst of all aspects of my life, and so I give myself happily and joyfully and willing to you. And yet somewhere along the line, the five foolish virgins found themselves living in more of a form of godliness. A form where there was more form than there was substance. And they were without oil at the end. Don't fear that there aren't warning signals along the way. The Lord didn't allow them to get in that place and then say, well, I'm going to surprise them tonight at midnight. I think they're without oil. They don't know. They don't realize they've run out. I think I'll get them. That's not the Lord. The Lord is so good and He's so faithful to come and say, I want to be in your midst. You're running low. Let me do something for you. And yet, for whatever reason, there are people that become too secure in their form of godliness. Those things that are good to observe. Not all form is bad. But we don't ever want to get in that place where we lose our relationship with Jesus Christ. All of us this morning, no doubt, or most of us, are aware of the Scripture and Revelations that speaks of the church at Laodicea that became lukewarm. But they were referred to as the church. They were people that no doubt at one point had a relationship with God. The Lord was in their midst. But they became lukewarm. And the Lord helped them to know that if something doesn't change, your lives are going to be lost. And so He told them, I counsel thee, you need to buy some gold tried in fire. You need to have your eyes anointed with the eye salve of the Holy Spirit. You need to be clothed in white raiment. And the Lord is faithful that way. The Lord is not out to surprise us and catch us and get us in a weak moment when He knows that's not where our heart is. That's not God. But we are warned in the Bible many places that says, be not deceived. Don't be deceived. Take heed unto yourselves, lest at any time you find yourself living absent the fear of the Lord. Because God doesn't want this to not be your testimony. God wants this to be your testimony that He's in the midst. He's with you in every area of life, no matter where you go. He's not just with you in prayer in the morning, and then you depart from Him and go your own way, knowing that we'll all come back to Him tomorrow morning or Wednesday or Sunday morning at the appointed time. Jesus Christ wants to be in the midst of your life. And so He says, don't be deceived. Take heed unto yourselves, lest at any time, I'd like to read that out of the 21st chapter of Luke this morning. It says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. Surfeiting means an absence of moderation. Surfeiting means overindulgence. Take heed unto yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with an absence of moderation and overindulgence in a way that takes up space that the Lord would like to have in your life. Take heed unto yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting or drunkenness, being intoxicated with all of the things of life that can capture our attention and take us away from what's important. Take heed unto yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, or cares of this life that we all face. And so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch. Watch ye therefore. Thus the cautionary note this morning. Not a note of alarm. Not a note to scare with a scared type of fearfulness, but a cautionary note to pay attention to. Because it's as a snare, unexpected. It can come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth, including Christians. So it says, watch, watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all of these things and to stand before the Son of Man. My message this morning is not to go any further into the parable of the 10 virgins or the lukewarm Christians at Laodicea, or even to speak so much about each part of this passage anymore, but it is to deliver a cautionary note. And that is that it is easy as Christians, as people that love God, that want to serve the Lord, it's easy for us to get carried away with our own wisdom, with the way that we think is right, those things that we believe we have learned and internalized, and so we've got it. And so we can get carried away with the things that we believe we got, only to find out, this isn't grammatically correct, because I'm getting ready to say, we didn't got it as well as we thought we did. But it's easy to do that. It's easy to get carried away with the wisdom of man. It's easy to get intoxicated with fine presentation of what seems to be sound rationale about how life works. And I bring this out in part this morning because we live in a time where it's really easy to access now, and not only access, but many are involved with it, where there are so many that regularly espouse their ideas in a regular basis. I'm not saying that it's all wrong or bad. Lots of things are out there where people grab their phone, get on their computer, and dial in at the appointed time and get their diet of so-and-so. Again, I'm not preaching against that. This is a message of caution. We can get carried away with the words of other people, the wisdom of man that sounds good, that's presented well, that satisfies our ears and our mind and our hearts. We can get carried away with our own wisdom and knowledge and thoughts and what we thought we got. In a way that gets in the place where the Lord would have had us spend additional time seeking a relationship with Him and hearing from His Spirit and understanding what doth the Word of the Lord say. And in so doing, we can miss the foundational building blocks, the principal ingredient of wisdom, which is living in the fear of the Lord. And yet, and I want to say this, that we have before applied ourselves to. In other words, we can have a false sense of security because we did heed the cry of wisdom on the street corner. We did stop. We were going our own way, and we did hear, "Wisdom crieth out." And as the masses went by it, we did choose to stop. And we went to wisdom. And we said, "Lord, help me to understand and to know wisdom." And we did give ourselves to living in the fear of the Lord. That's where the five foolish virgins were. That's where the lukewarm and Laodicea. That was the Christians that that Jesus Christ Himself was issuing a warning saying, take heed unto yourselves lest at any time, because these things can get in the way of you living in the fear of the Lord. And I want to be in your midst at all times, in all places. Allow me to be. Because these other things can get in the way of that. And the Lord doesn't want those other things to get in the way of that. But we can have this false sense of security that I did do what I was supposed to do. But just as the song says that He is in the midst, it's talking about those that are following Jesus Christ. The disciples that have made that a priority. And just as sure as we can trust in the fact that Jesus Christ is in the midst of all of those that follow, we have a responsibility to follow. We have a responsibility to allow Jesus Christ to be our Lord always. In all situations and in all places and at all times of life, so that our testimony can be that He's in the midst. And yet, how is the wisdom of living in the fear of the Lord going to work throughout our lives if it is only applied at the beginning as opposed to throughout? This is not a one and done. It won't work unless we give ourselves to the Lord in all areas of our lives at all times, and be diligent and intentional about it. There's a poem that I shared with you all. I don't know, maybe I've shared it more than once, and if I keep sharing it, then maybe you'll memorize it like I memorized it. My mom had this, I think it was only about yay big. I think it had a magnet on the back of it, and maybe it was on our refrigerator, I can't remember. But it was there long enough that as a child, my attention was directed to it so that today, at my age, I still remember it. Or at least the most important parts of it that the Lord wanted me to remember. And it goes something like this. I got up early this morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me, and heavier became each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wonder? He said, "You didn't ask." Poem goes on, and it speaks of some of what the day entailed, but it ended this way. I got up early this morning, and I paused before entering the day, because I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. Well, I believe that that poem is speaking on taking time to pray in the morning that the Lord might help you throughout the day. But I don't think it would do injustice to it to take the thought a little bit further, and it could have gone like this. I got up early this morning and prepared to live life. And I took a little bit of time and prayed at the beginning. I came to an altar of prayer and asked God to save my soul and told Him I wanted to live for Him and that I wanted Him to be in my midst. And I finished that prayer and got up and rushed into life because I had a lot of things that I wanted to do and thought that I knew just how to do it. But life brought unexpected trouble and weights that were beyond my ability to handle. Avoidable disappointment and heartache and pain visited me. I felt emptiness where I thought I would be full. Weakness where I thought that I would experience power. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He said, "You didn't take me with you." So I purposed in my heart that when I get up and I face life, that not only will I pause in the morning to talk to the one that I love so dear, but I'll invite Him to go with me as I face life, and I'll let Him be my wisdom and my guide and my light, because I know He loves me and I know He can lead me when I don't know where to go. I think we miss that sometimes. The Lord doesn't want our relationship with Him to be just about completing spiritual and religious tasks, although they have their place. The Lord wants a relationship with us. The Lord wants us to take Him with us, not just when we bow and have some formal time of reading and prayer, but He wants to go with us in life. And I wonder why sometimes we wait until we have trouble in areas that we didn't have to have trouble in before we turned to the Lord as Christians. There are so many things that I think are avoidable to us in life if we would be more intentional and deliberate about coming to the Lord. And I want to insert this too in the fear of the Lord. The Lord wants us to come to Him with more than just something we call a prayer. The Lord wants us to come to Him and give Him our hearts fully each day, so that our prayers aren't just, "Lord, would You grant me this wish that I have? Lord, would You remove this from my life? Lord, would You change this situation?" And it's okay to come with those prayers to the Lord. I believe He wants us to open up our hearts and tell Him what we want. Because I think sometimes when we tell Him what we want, He's better able to help us understand what we need if we're willing. Jesus, that's what He did. He said, "Father, if there's any way that You could remove this cup from me, that's what I would like." And He prayed that prayer, saw value in praying that as an example to us, but He ended it with, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, you know. Lord, you're God. I'm not. I'm the created. Lord, would you have your way in my life that you might be glorified? Lord, you know what I need more than what I know that I need for myself. Lord, help me to be as clay in the hands of the potter and yield my life and allow you to make me what you would have me to be according to your wisdom and not my own. Do you know that if we can really get to the place where when we pray, we really get to the place that we yield our lives as clay in the hands of a potter and give the results and the outcome and whatever happens after we do that into the hands of the Lord, did you know how much peace that will bring us? If we live our lives always comparing how we feel and the outcomes and our circumstances against what it was we were praying for. Lord, I asked this, but this is where I'm at. Lord, I wanted this and I brought this before your throne, but this is actually the reality in my life. And Lord, I've been struggling with this, but here I am. And all we are is living life always asking and expecting things to be in direct correlation with how it was presented in our own thoughts, we aren't going to have the peace in our hearts that God wants us to have. But if we can get to the place, and it's taken me a long time to get there, still not there, still not where I want to be. If we can get to the place where we can open our hearts and yield to the Lord and then rest in His wisdom and His love and His understanding, then no matter what happens, even though it may not be pleasant, there can be a peace that passes all understanding that we can experience. And we can say from our heart, He's in the midst of the storm. I feel Him. I feel His presence, His love, and His care. The Lord wants us to come to Him early, and He wants us to remain in His presence. This is a God that the writer of Hebrews said in the 4th chapter and the 12th verse, that He was a God that was able to divide soul and spirit, joints from marrow. You know how to do that? Discern the difference between thoughts and intents. That's the God that would like to be in the midst of your life. And I think sometimes we leave blessings and victories and peace on the table that we don't partake of, that's ours to partake of, by allowing God to work in our lives and yielding to Him. Simple message this morning is, let's purpose to come to God with all the whole of our life. Lord, you see this project I'm getting ready to have to do at work. And then when we're at work, Lord, you see this project that I'm in the midst of. Lord, would you give me wisdom? Lord, this situation I'm dealing with my family. Lord, these weaknesses that I'm facing in my own life, would you help me with it? Lord, this situation that I think I have it all figured out, that I'm getting ready to go take care of and think that I know it from start to finish. Lord, I'm just human. Lord, would you go with me? Lord, would you be my Lord and my God and my light and my salvation? There may be some that are at a fork in the road of how you're going to allow your life to be directed. It happens a lot with young people as you grow up at home and you prepare to go out, and maybe you have already gone out and you're having to make decisions on your own. And mom and dad's not there to say, this is the way, walk ye in it. And you're like, well, I don't want to walk that way. And they say, well, that's the way you're going to walk anyway. Now you're on your own. You can walk whichever way you want. And you're making important decisions. Do it in the fear of the Lord. It'll make all the difference. And then after you bow before God and open up your heart and do everything you know to do in the fear of the Lord in the beginning, don't leave that point and then just head off thinking, okay, I did what I was supposed to do. I prayed about it. I prayed about it, and this is how I felt that I should go. And so we get up and we charge forward in life without almost a backward glance. We have just a few minutes left. There's this process in the workplace that some of you are probably familiar with. It's called plan, do, check, adjust. And what it means is that before you go charging off to do, that you first plan. You take the time to think about it. You take the time to try to put everything in order first. And then you do it. But that's not the end. After you do it, maybe while you're doing it, you check. How is this going? Did I miss something? Is there something more that should be incorporated into the plan? Did I mess up? What went right? What do I want to make sure happens again because it was right? And we check it. And then we make adjustments to the plan. And then we repeat. Next time that we do our plan, we factor in the adjustments. And we go through the process again and we do it. And then we stop and we say, well, how'd that go? And you live like that. And I think that we can learn from some of these things spiritually. The Lord doesn't want us to just come to Him and say, okay, Lord, would you go with me? Help me. We do want to do that. We don't want to just charge off and do. But then let's live our lives so that we have this constant prayer of, Lord, try my reins. Lord, check my heart. Lord, help me to understand what I missed. Maybe I wasn't ready for it up here, but maybe I am now ready to have it revealed to me, Lord, that I can make adjustments in my life. Because, Lord, I want to live so that you're always in my midst. Lord, I want to live so that I don't find myself in the place where I've run out of oil or I'm lukewarm or I was caught by a snare. So this morning, the cautionary note is this in conclusion, that as Christians, we can feel that we indeed have stopped when wisdom cried in the street, that we did give ourselves to live in the fear of the Lord. But the cautionary note is those things need to be preserved and maintained, living in the fear of the Lord. Value it, guard it, safeguard it. Don't allow those other things that would come in unexpectedly, that behave as a snare, that catches you even when you're not trying to get away from God, but you're not paying attention. You're not being deliberate and intentional enough. There's those two words again, deliberate and intentional. May God help us live deliberate and intentional lives so that we're paying attention. Let's be as the man in the first chapter of Psalm that was planted by the rivers of water, that didn't just come and take a drink at the rivers of water and then go his own way, but he came and he planted himself there that he might be fed all through the course of his life so that he could bring forth fruit in his season, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper by the grace of God. Let's give ourselves to that. This is not a message again this morning to cause us to be afraid that what if my oil's all run out? What if I get to the end of the way and I thought I had oil but I really didn't? And well, I don't know. What if I'm not saved right now? What if I just think I'm saved but I'm really not, and the Lord's just going to cut me off? What if I'm like the church at Laodicea and I think all is well? This is not a message of scared fear. This is a message where we can go to bed at night and lay our heads on our pillows at peace, knowing that we are giving ourselves to the Lord each day. We're not going to have arrived at every part of life immediately. It's going to be a growth process, but we can fully give our heart to the Lord and purpose that we're not just going to pass him by, get what it is we think we need, and then charge on our way. We're going to be deliberate and intentional about our relationship with Jesus Christ all the way through. And if we do that, he will preserve our souls and give us peace in our hearts. May the Lord bless each one of you this morning, is my prayer as we watch and as we pray. Amen.